This is the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. We welcome you to listen to our service today. We hope you enjoy the broadcast.
Mountain, kiss upon him as a bride. are crumbling every day, yielding to the enemy and throwing life away. Bind our lives together, guard us with your truth. When the struggle seems too great, Lord, keep our eyes on you. Lord, bless our home, protect our home. Let it be a refuge in this world of sin. Lord, reign within. Keep us strong and true. And when we need you most, Lord, draw us close. Committed to each other. Lord, bless our home. We give our home to you. Fathers need to guide their children as they grow. Mothers wiping tears away and healing every woe. Together raising families to stand life's every test. Teaching to depend on God and on His word to rest. Lord, bless our home, protect our home. Let it be our refuge in this world of sin. Lord, reign within. Keep us strong and true. And when we need you most, Lord, draw us close. Committed to each other. Lord, bless our home. We give our home to you. Thank you for your goodness. Our love was in your plan. Help us face the future, always trusting in your hand. Keep us warm and tender. Keep us clean and pure. Drive us to each other's arms and make our love endure. Lord, bless our home, protect our home. Let it be our refuge in this world of sin. Lord, reign within. Keep us strong and true. And when we need you most, Lord, draw us close. Committed to each other. Lord, bless our home. We give our home to you.
Thank you. your copy of God's Word today to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Last Sunday morning we began a new sermon series entitled Elijah, God Uses and How God Uses an Ordinary Man. We were in 1 Kings chapter 16. And we saw from that passage that Elijah was the kind of man who made living for Jehovah in the world of idolatry his number one priority. We saw from that passage an answer to the question, what was going on in Israel at the time when Elijah stepped into the picture? We looked briefly into a glimpse into who Elijah was from other passages of Scripture. We saw that Elijah was one of those men in Scripture that did not die. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11 states that God caught Elijah up in a whirlwind, and he was there, and God took him. He also appeared at the transfiguration of Christ. We look at Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 35, and saw how he was there present, based upon the statement that Peter made. Not only that, he was very important to the Jews. Number 3, Jesus asked in Matthew 16 and verse 4, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered, "And some say Elijah." And Elijah meant an awful lot to the Jews. But we looked at another thing, and that was from James chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18. We saw that he was just a common man that God used. He was a man with a nature like ours, Scripture records in the book of James. We also looked at three important roles to understand Elijah and his ministry as we get started into this. We looked at the times of the prophet. What was Israel like at the time that Elijah came? What was the role of a prophet? What did a prophet do? What were his responsibilities? And as we closed last Sunday, we looked at the message of the prophet. We closed our time by adding that these were difficult days to be alive, the days of Elijah, let alone to be a spokesman for God who preached against the king, idolatry, and sin, not a day in which it would be easy to live for Christ. I encourage you to never stop being the one in your place of the world proclaiming the truth about God and His Word like Elijah. Choose to live for God even if everyone else around you is not and has no desire to do so. You may be the only one around the people that you influence that really is truly proclaiming the Word of God. And I ask you as we close, will you be their Elijah? You should be in 1 Kings chapter 17. Would you follow along today as I begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 7? Would you join me in standing this morning if you're able for the public reading of Scripture? 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 7. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the evening, and bread and meat in the morning, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. You may be seated. We're going to dive deeper this morning into the story of Elijah, into the account of this prophet of God, and see something that I think a lot of us forget, and that is the provision of God. How God provided for Elijah each and every day is the same way that God provides for each and every one of us. We have a benevolent God. We have a God who gives liberally. We have a God who gives when we ask for things. We have a God who knows our needs. The great test of faith this morning is something that we're going to see, and that is, can we trust God when things seem to fall apart? Will He provide for me when natural resources seem exhausted? Is God able to do that? God never forgot Elijah, and as you're going to see today, the same truth holds true for us. God never leaves us in a place where His grace cannot provide and meet our needs. So with that, let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, would you help us now, in the quietness of these moments, if we have things that are distracting us from the Word of God, that you would remove those things from our minds today, that the Word of God would go forward, that you would use it in our hearts and lives. And Father, I realize today that this is not particularly a Mother's Day message, but the truth of what is shared from the Word of God this morning is something that often our mothers shared with us, those that have Christian mothers, about how God continually and faithfully provides to meet our needs. Father, would you hide your servant behind the cross? Be with the message that you've laid upon my heart today. May the Holy Spirit use it in the hearts and lives of each and every one as he's already used it in mine. And Father, may we leave today with a greater understanding of how it is to live in reliance upon God, who faithfully and wondrously provides for each and every one of us. So, Father, may you be honored through each and every aspect of this message. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah at Cherith. Mothers, you remember what it was like when your first child, maybe your second child, maybe your third, depending on how many children you have, you remember what it was like before your child began to walk, right? You remember what that was like. Maybe perhaps as your child learned to walk, it was much like my daughter. Rachel was learning how to walk and using a little stroller, a kid's stroller, and she found out the hard way that walking doesn't always go like you plan. Sometimes it requires trips to the emergency room. A while back, we had to take her to the emergency room because her walking didn't work very well. And the face met the corner of something in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, to mom's horror, what was wonderful at one point in time in learning how to walk seemed really gruesome. Maybe perhaps for you, that walking, maybe your child took forever to get to the point where they could walk. I've heard people tell me, my child's not even two and they still don't know how to walk, and it's like there's something wrong. Believer, can I tell you something today? There is something wrong with us if we are not at the point where we are walking with the Lord as we should be. Maybe you've been saved for 15, maybe you've been saved for 20 years, but your walk from the day that you came to know Christ is no different than today. Something's wrong. We would think something wrong of a child who is in his teenage years and is not able to walk, doesn't feed himself, and has to be changed, if you know what I mean. There's something wrong. When you come to the life of Elijah, we read last week just verse 1 of chapter 17, which reads this: "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead comes to Ahab," and I stated, there's no prior reference to Elijah. It's just, bam, he's there. He walks into the picture. But you understand, Elijah walked into an interesting situation in the days of Israel. Israel in chapter 16, as I read last week, was plagued by idolatry. They were overwhelmed with this worship of Baal. King Ahab and his wife Jezebel had set up all of these places of worship to worship Baal, a carved wooden image. And it stated in verse 33 of chapter 16 that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. I don't know about you, but my mother is not one of those ladies you want to provoke to anger. Maybe you can agree with me. I know what it looks like when you're in trouble. I know what it looks like when you make mom upset. Can I tell you something this morning? We have a very little understanding of what it truly means to make God upset and angry. God was not happy in the days of Elijah, not happy with the way that Israel was acting, not happy with the idolatry. And God sent a man by the name of Elijah into the picture to draw Israel back to himself. Stop and think about this for just a moment. Verse 1 that I just read, Elijah comes to King Ahab and he says this: "There's not going to be rain these days, these years, except at my word." I pondered this in my office as I studied this week. What if we honestly believe that God was as powerful as we believe that he and say he is? What if we truly believe that prayer was as powerful as we say it is? Here is a man named Elijah who prays and asks God that it would not rain 3 years and 6 months, and it doesn't rain. Let me ask you, when was the last time you had a prayer meeting and prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, and it came true? Elijah was a man of prayer. He was a man who prayed fervently. Not only was this interesting, but for the next 3 years, Elijah would, in a sense, be the weatherman of Israel. His forecast predicted drought every day for 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? Nobody in Israel knew better what the weather was going to be like than Elijah. And I stated last week that the reason why God held back the rain for 3 years and 6 months was because God used that in the hearts and the minds of people to draw them out of Baal worship back to God himself. If you were to fast forward in chapter 18, you know that passage of scripture very well. Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal. And it's on that mountain where it is declared whose God is the living and true God. And Elijah says, it's my God. And the prophets of Baal say, it's Baal. And so they have what I call the face showdown. Whose God is it that's going to answer? And if you look at and you fast forward, you find out something. The God that Israel has failed to worship makes a surprising statement. I am the God that liveth. We'll get to that later. But it was amazing because Baal was, as I stated last week, he was the storm god, the god of rain. And here are all these prophets of Baal, and for 3.5 years, they cannot get it to rain. All of the things that they did, they probably did a rain dance. We know they offered up offerings to Baal to try to get rain, but it would not happen. Following several chapters we looked at last week that dealt with the chronicles of the kings of Judah and Israel, you come face to face with Elijah. There's no background leading up to his ministry. He just steps on the scene and he begins working for the Lord. You read and you study the life of Elijah and it quickly becomes apparent that he was a man who walked by faith. Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, we walk by faith and not by sight. Can I ask you today, are you walking by faith? Perhaps you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's the first step in walking with God, is making a public profession of faith. I understand Jesus Christ died for me. He loves me and he wants to save me from my sin. That's where it starts. But it doesn't stop there. It continues on. You read about Elijah. All of the passages that followed about Elijah. Elijah did some miraculous things. But they weren't because of Elijah. They were because of the God of Elijah. They were because of what the God of Elijah did. Elijah was forced to rely on God daily for provision. The verses that we read this morning, God had to provide for Elijah. You read verses 8 through 16, God had to provide for Elijah. You keep reading through the life of Elijah. God had to provide for him almost daily. You say, well, how does this fit with my life? As we walk with the Lord in an increasingly difficult day to live for the Lord, we begin to realize the necessity for a life lived by faith. If you're a child of God, you understand that today is a day in which living for Christ is not easy. It takes faith. When you think about our dependence in meeting our needs, the dependence that we have on the Lord, it doesn't appear as desperate as Elijah. The verses that we read, it says here that there's going to be a drought. And it says that he got water from the brook and the ravens fed him. I don't think this morning when you go home to celebrate Mother's Day, there's going to be a couple of turkey buzzards sitting at your front doorstep with a roast. I don't think that's going to happen. You're not as desperate as Elijah was. Thankfully, God doesn't provide through blackbirds, amen? God doesn't do that. Not for us, not on a regular basis, but the needs that God provides and meets for us, the provision, the dependence upon the Lord, is the same. We depend upon the Lord to meet our needs daily. We depend on the Lord to meet our needs to keep our salvation secure. It's not us that holds our salvation, it's God. And it's His faithfulness. And it's that same faithfulness that provides for us. There's a lot that you can glean from this record of the great prophet's life. And I want to share with you this morning 4 stages of Elijah's encounter and confidence in the Lord. 4 stages of Elijah's encounter and confidence in the Lord. The first is this, the demeanor of Elijah. Verse 1, the demeanor of Elijah. The verse reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." This reveals the demeanor and the character of Elijah. Consider, if you would, his introduction with me this morning. We're introduced to this Tishbite from the land of Gilead named Elijah. Often the Old Testament names were very significant. Perhaps, mothers, you gave your child a very significant name for a very particular reason. Maybe you're named after a family member. I love Elijah's name. Elijah's name means Jehovah is God. Wherever he went, and they would ask, "What is your name?" Elijah would say, "My name is Elijah." And instantly they would go, "Jehovah is God." Wherever he went, whatever he said, whatever he did, people were reminded, "Jehovah is God," because of the name of Elijah. Doesn't seem surprising since he was born into the nation of Israel. People chosen by God. However, it was very significant at this moment in history. Following the reign of Solomon, as I stated last Sunday, the kingdom was divided, both Judah and Israel. They strayed from the Lord. They got into idolatry. Israel seemed to be more influenced by the nations around them. They sought their gods. They sought to live the way that everybody else lived. Because of that, they found many, many problems. They lived according to the lust of their flesh. But God raised up a man to proclaim him as true and living God, and that was Elijah. Not only do we notice his introduction, but his ministry. The first mention we have of Elijah, we find him standing before Ahab, the king of Israel. What a place to make an entrance. The first thing we ever read about you and your life was you making an appearance before the President of the United States. Wouldn't that be something? If the first thing we read about you was you made an appearance before the President of the United States, that would be something. It would give significance to your life, wouldn't it? They're not just a nobody. The first thing we read is they met the president. Put it in a modern day understanding of this passage. Elijah is standing before the king of Israel. His name is Ahab. He's the dignitary. He's the royalty. No doubt from here on out, everybody in all of Israel knew Elijah. Especially after Elijah makes the proclamation in verse 1. There's not going to be any rain. Can you imagine the headline on the newspaper? Crazy man from the desert wanders into the king's palace and makes a proclamation. There's not going to be any rain. Sounds like a typical newspaper article from the Atlantic Telegraph, doesn't it? But think about this. Ahab married, as I stated last week, the daughter of the neighboring king and followed her example in worshiping Baal. Her name was Jezebel. And between Ahab and Jezebel, they led people away from the Lord. And God sent Elijah to confront Ahab about this. And we think about it, but Elijah needed great faith to confront the king of Israel regarding his sin. Let me ask you today, would you be willing to be Elijah and confront not only the king, not only the nation, but confront sin? We're scared to go talk to our neighbor, our brother and sister in Christ about sin that we see in their life. How would we ever confront a king? How would we ever confront a nation living in idolatry? You see, it starts with us. We have to be right with God. Elijah didn't walk in there and say, "Well, I'm better than you." He went in there and he said, "This is what's going on, and this is not right or pleasing before God." So he makes this statement. He confronted it. Look around you. And I think you would agree that America has become an idolatrous nation, haven't they? People, there aren't multitudes of temples set up to worship false gods. We don't have a temple of Baal in Brayton. We don't have a temple of some other false god. We don't have this idol worship that we think we read about. Well, we have idol worship today. Many worship the gods of pleasure and self-indulgence and entertainment. It absorbs all of their time, all of their effort, all of their energy. We serve things rather than someone. Man was made to serve Creator, not the creation. We were not made to serve ourselves. It's been said of this day and age that the internet and television influence more areas of the Christian life than even the Word of God. What would it be like today if we let the Word of God influence us more than what we read on the internet, what we see on television, what we look at in the paper or a magazine? The Word of God was desperately needed in the days of Elijah, and I would make this statement today. The Word of God is desperately needed today. And I think you would agree. People need the Word of God. How will they change unless they know the truth of the gospel? Look at his prophecy. Point number 3. His introduction, his ministry, his prophecy. There were 3 thoughts about this message that I stated briefly last Sunday. The first was this, Jehovah, the God of Israel. Israel had been so far removed With all of this idolatry and all of this worship, many in Israel thought Baal was the only God. Elijah comes on the scene, and the very first words out of his mouth are this: "As the Lord God of Israel." There's only one God, and that's Jehovah. One God and God alone. And immediately this would have gotten Ahab's attention. Imagine walking in and telling him, "Well, there's only one God in Israel." Immediate confrontation. There's only one God, and it's the God of Jehovah. It's Jehovah. He is the God of Israel. And I love the second part of this. This second thought. This is Jehovah, the God of Israel. And the very next words are, "That lives." Is God alive and well today? Then we need to live like He is. Israel lived in a world at this time that to them, God was an idol. God was a Baal. I'm glad I don't have to worship a statue, aren't you? I can talk to God because God desires to hear from me, and God desires to answer. God says here in this passage, and Elijah reminds the nation of Israel, that God is still alive. He still loves Israel, even to this day. But there was a third thing that I stated, and this is where Elijah found confidence and he found a meaning for his life. And a lot of us, it would do us good to think through this. It says, "As the Lord God of Israel is, before whom I stand." Before whom I stand. Who are you afraid of? Your neighbor? Your boss? Your coworker? Can I tell you the reason that Elijah had no fear or little fear is because he understood wherever he went, he was standing before God in His presence 24/7. Scripture makes it very clear that God does not see the areas that we try to hide, right? No. It's the other way around. God sees all. We're always before God. We cannot escape Him. Doesn't matter whether you run from God like Jonah and you hide in a fish, God still sees you. Doesn't matter where you are, God sees you. You're always before Him. And Elijah took that with him in his ministry. And it's as if, you know what, I realize I'm talking to you, Ahab, but God is more important to me than you. I wonder, what do you value in your life? Is God important to you? You live with that present mindset. God is always before me. I'm always before Him. He always sees me. If we did, it would change our life. Elijah shared a simple message. There's going to be no rain. How many of you like messages? Short, sweet, to the point. You like those, don't you? You don't want to memorize something big. Thank goodness Elijah didn't have to memorize a whole page of paper. He walks in and all he says is a one-sentence phrase. There's going to be no rain these years, no dew, except at my word. Short, sweet, to the point, yet very powerful. You understand that without rain, things die. They shrivel up. He declared that God would withhold rain. Ahab likely dismissed this statement at the moment, but you know what? He would begin to realize over time how true what Elijah said was. He would see that Elijah's God possessed power. All of this, as I said, was used to bring this contest that you read about in chapter 18 of Elijah between Jehovah and the Baal worshippers on Mount Carmel. Point number two this morning, the directive for Elijah. Verse 2 says, "The word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.'" Following that confrontation with Ahab, Elijah received direction from the Lord. Consider these two questions that I have on your outline this morning. Where would Elijah seek a place of refuge away from King Ahab? If you want to get away from people, where do you go? Nowadays, it's hard to find someplace off the grid, off the map, where somebody cannot find you. We live in a technological world. Where would he go? Think about the second question. He's just gone to Ahab and he's just proclaimed there's going to be a drought. What happens when there's a drought? There's no water, there's no food. So what do? You starve. So where are you going to get food, and where are you going to hide, and what are you going to drink? Valid questions. Okay, God, you've led me this far, now what? The other thing that I find remarkable about Scripture, and look with me if you would at these verses. Verse 1, he makes this proclamation. Verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him. It's as if that's the only thing he says to Ahab. We don't know where they met. It doesn't record that Elijah got a formal invitation to go before the king. Nobody could just walk in and talk to the king. That didn't happen. So either he saw him in the palace courtyard, perhaps he was out, Ahab was walking around the city, I don't know. But somehow he came face to face with Ahab and he makes this proclamation. All of a sudden Ahab's gone. Or Elijah's gone. We don't know. But we know this from statement in verse number 2, that the word of the Lord came to him. God directs our ways, does he not? He directs us. He leads us. This directive for Elijah, the instruction. Verse 3, he was told to go away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith. It's one of the few times in all of Scripture that you find God giving the directive to hide. God says, go hide. Go hide by the brook Cherith. But I want you to understand, God's not telling him to hide out of fear. He's telling him to hide because God's going to prepare him. He says to go. So he would have gone. Elijah knew that soon he would be on every poster in the post office. He would be the wanted man in all of Israel. King Ahab would hate him. But yet God would preserve him. God gave him specific instructions, a specific place, and that's where he intended Elijah to go. He would provide and care for him. The Lord knows our difficulties and our struggles as well. He has a place of rest and provision prepared for us, even in the midst of turmoil. But many fail to receive the provision that God offers because they're unwilling to respond to his will for their lives. The separation. Notice verse 3. Does anybody go with Elijah? Nobody goes with him. He doesn't bring any friends. He doesn't bring any hired help. He just goes. And it's interesting that God told Elijah this separation, point number 2. It's interesting that God told Elijah to hide himself by the brook Cherith. The name Cherith means to cut off. And this would be a place of isolation for Elijah. People didn't go to hide there. That wasn't a normal place. He was instructed to hide by the brook. And this would have been a great place of seclusion for the prophet. The brook that flowed through there was kind of a gorge, and there would be a very steep cliff, and there would be all kinds of caves, small caves throughout that. A great place for him to hide. But at the same time, no doubt, he was lonely. Here he is. He's all by himself. Isolated for survival. He had to follow the Lord, and he had to walk by faith. And during this time of isolation, I am sure the Lord spoke to Elijah and prepared him for the ministry ahead. Most of us don't like being isolated, do we? We don't like to be alone. I certainly wouldn't enjoy that for an extended period of time, but we must not be unwilling to hide away with the Lord at times. I honestly feel that it's during the time that God, during that time, God brought Elijah deeper into his relationship. We need to find that place of great solitude in our lives, places where we can shut out all of the things in life and do business with God. The Lord prepared him. The Lord worked on him. But notice the provision. Verse number 4. The provision. And it shall be to you that you shall drink from the brook. Okay, God, I get that. That makes sense. But then God tells him something that, to be honest, we would wonder what was going on. There's going to be ravens that are going to provide food for you. Stop and think about this for just a moment. Birds. Birds are going to provide for you. Have you ever seen birds? You ever seen birds eat? You ever seen birds carry things to you? I have not. I have never had a blackbird land on my back patio and hand me a T-bone steak. I have never, as long as I've been alive, never had a bird drop a Hawaiian roll in my lap. God is going to bring ravens with food to Elijah. And Elijah says, okay, I'm cool with that. Let me ask you, does that require trust and faith in God? Or would you be like, God, seriously, you can't do any better than birds? Think about this. These birds were apparently plentiful in this spot along the brook Cherith where Elijah was. And somehow God supernaturally commanded these birds to feed Elijah, just like God supernaturally commanded the fish to spit Jonah out. God has a way over his creation, doesn't he? You bet he does. He uses these birds to bring nourishment for Elijah. And no doubt, Elijah probably wondered when and how all of this would happen. What is this going to look like? Sometimes we often want to know all the steps in God's plan before we take the first one, don't we? God, if I can see point X, I'll take step A. You know what? God doesn't ask us to look at point X. He asks us to take step A and leave A, B, C, D, E, F, and so on to Him. That's what He intends for our lives. He wants us to take steps one at a time. And as He reveals them, this is not a trip of luxury and ease. 15 miles one way, 15 miles another way, 30 miles plus or more by foot to get away. That's a long ways. What if Elijah had said, well, God, I really don't want to travel that far, so I'll just hide outside the city. That would have, number one, been disobedience. Number two, how do we know God would have protected him? Number three, where would he have met? How would his provisions have been met? See, when God gives us direction, he's clear. He makes it very clear to him, I'm going to provide, this is where you're going, this is how I'm going to do it. All he had to do was obey. Although it might not have been what he was accustomed to eating, the Lord would provide for him in the midst of a wilderness while he was hiding from persecution. There's a great principle here regarding our walk of faith. Where God leads, he provides. He always provides. We have nothing to fear while we're walking with God. If God can direct the ravens to sustain Elijah, he is surely able to meet our needs and sustain us as we walk with him, is he not? Your meal today, as I said, it's not going to come from a black-feathered flying messenger. But you can be thankful for a job, can't you? Thankful for wages, for a well-stocked store that when you go to, you can find what you need.
If you would like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us on Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. We hope that you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton today.